Say, believe. And say. That's a huge part of our walk with God. Say, believe it. And then say it. Mark 11, what does it say? Say unto this. You believe that'll happen. But mountain is bigger, the biggest thing that you ever ran across in your life. And what's going to happen to it? It's got to go. It's already gone. Say hallelujah. Think about some of the miracles in the Old Testament where birds would come and drop food. The only kind of birds I know that pick stuff up, they eat it. But God, who knows what God would say to a bird? Instead of eating it for your own nourishment, pick it up and bring it over here. Wow. See, there's a number of people here this morning that you have lumps on your body. I'm not going to ask you to run to the ladies' room or men's room. And I'm just telling you, they're there, but they're going right now as I speak. The lumps are disappearing on you. I said the lumps are disappearing on you. The lumps are disappearing on you. If you believe it and you say it, they're already taken care of at Calvary. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, the presence of the Lord is so strong in here right now. It's like the wind at Pentecost blowing through this place. Isaiah 44:6 says this, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first," say this with me, "I'm the first and I'm the last, and there is no God beside me." Who's Jesus? The first and the last, the beginning and the end. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We sang a song the other day, I think it was Thursday morning. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. See, when this little, what do you call it, gets in your ear and starts telling you stuff, I start singing that song. Because I realize this, that if you're counting your blessings and you're too busy counting them, and you're surrounding yourself like the cloud of witnesses in Hebrews, hello, you don't have time for the other stuff to show up. Count the blessing. How many of you woke up this morning? Count the blessing. When you count the blessings, other stuff has no room to get in. You understand that? So he is what? The beginning and the end, Alpha and the Omega. Listen to Revelation 22, verses 12 through 13. "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Say the beginning and the end. He's never going to change on you. Say he's never going to change on you. We were doing this on Thursday morning, and I just couldn't get away from it. So I'm going to give you these three things we did Thursday morning. Are you ready? The law of absolute harvest. The law of absolute harvest. It's from the Word of God. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you do what? Sow bountifully, what will come back? God is going to change some of our thinking when it comes to what we're supposed to do spiritually, and if you don't mind, and when it comes to stewardship principles. When it comes time to give our tithes and our offerings, let's do it with a cheerful heart and a smile. I always like to watch people when they come to give their offering and tithes. Some of them walk up, they got a big smile on their face. They place their hand on the basket and they're just laughing and laughing. Other people come up and it looks like they have a whole bunch of lemons in their pocket and they've been sucking on them when they've been sitting there. We should be joyful that we can give. Joyful we can give unto the work of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Say joyfully happy, bountifully happy. No more am I going to be stingy with what I give. Say no more. You probably never heard of this one. But my father, years ago, used to buy ice cream and feed the kids in the neighborhood. And they had the little ice box. And they used to sell, listen, gallons of ice cream, not half. My father would cut that thing in half, then cut it again and stick it in there. And the kids in the neighborhood knew he was home with the ice cream. And he'd have the cones. He put ice cream in the cone. They loved it. God wants to give you a gallon that won't fit into your life. And he's going to cut it up and say a little bit here and a little bit here. He's got so much more for you than a tiny bit that you and I are doing. He wants to bring healing and restoration. He wants to bring salvation through you. Through you. Somebody gave me a seed on Thursday morning. I counted it out. It was $100. And it was for a certain thing that I was working on. Let this be part of your project. God gives me projects to do. And I never try to understand them. I like stepping out on the plank. How about you? Just make sure I have a life preserver that would help me out, all right? So listen to this now. The law of absolute harvest. Absolute. Absolute law of a harvest. Absolute law. It never will stop. Absolute. Now, our book we used the Thursday morning for a few minutes, there was three things, and I want to just give them back to you before I go on a little bit further, if you don't mind. There are three different kinds of laws. First of all, say civil law. Civil law occurs as legislator lawmakers make decisions. Then there's another one, if you don't mind. That law changes all the time. Lawmakers change. Then there's criminal law. Criminal law is something that changes with less frequency. But then there's another kind of law. I just want to step back and tell you what it is. There's the spiritual law, however, changes not. The spiritual laws of God's word never, ever, ever, tell your neighbor, they don't change. They stay the same. They stay the same. Why is that? If they don't change, it's because the word of God says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They never stop. Say they never stop. But the laws of men, because men are not Jesus, change. Are you always happy with what your lawmakers do? You think it'll be different when the next election comes? As long as men are involved, and women, people, we will not always be happy. But I'm here to tell you, if you sow from your life what God has said for you to sow, he is going to allow you to reap an absolute harvest that's not mixed, but it's pure. The word of God is pure. The word of God does not change. There's the word of God, and that's it. Oh, you're one of those guys. Yes, and I'm proud of it. It's absolute. It's not going to change. God cannot let you down. God will not let you go at the bus stop without enough money to get the next bus. You're trying to get places with the local bus. God wants you to learn how to take the express from one point to the other. Because why? Time is of the essence. He wants you to do his best. He's going to do his best. What we have to do is our best. I know without a question of a doubt, when God speaks to me, and whether it makes sense or doesn't make sense, God is doing something supernatural. I learned from a preacher years ago, if you will do the ridiculous, God will do the supernatural. The Bible's full of those stories. They're not going to change, but they need to begin, if I can say this, in us starting today. Time is of the essence. Time is running out. I often say this, think about this. If you have, anybody have $100 on? If you have $100, can you do something with it? And I'm not asking you to do anything with it. See, that's what God does. He says, do you have $100? And already we're putting stuff back like, let me hide it. You can't hide on God what he's asking for. It's never about the money. It's about the obedience to him. But if you took that $100 and spent it, you could probably go earn another $100. Am I right? But when the time is missed and time is used, time is nothing you can ever, ever, ever get back. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. I felt something loose around that $100 bill. Now I'm going to take, no, I'm not going to take it. Say he's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Now listen to this statement. It's powerful. It's out of the book we're reading. The promise of absolute harvest is unalterable. The fact that Jesus gave his life on Calvary is unalterable. Men have tried for centuries to change that, put his name down. They're still doing it today. It doesn't matter. The harvest of the life of Jesus Christ is unalterable. The Bible says one man, by his trespasses, sin entered in. But it also says by another man, his name is Jesus, he came in and he turned everything around. When he said it was finished, that means it was finished for anything and everything on planet Earth then and in the future. You and I were in the future. I said you and I were in the future. I always loved the part when it said the graveyards were emptied. I just love that. If the rapture were to come, I'd want to be in a cemetery with my camera taking pictures of the spectacular with fireworks in the background. What a sight to see the dead rise first. Let me try that again. The dead going first. And if we happen to be one of those folks, we could say, come on. Death, where is your sting? Someone slips away into eternity. We're going to see them again. We're going to see them again. See, that's the hope that the Word of God puts. That's the absolute harvest that Jesus has put out for you and I. Hallelujah. When you wake in the morning, put your feet on the ground and say, hallelujah. I made it to another day. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let go of the hope of Jesus Christ because his life was an absolute and still is an absolute. Where is he right now doing his work? At the right hand of the Father, interceding for, say, you and I. Oh, glory. Come on, give him a hand. Clap offering. Goodness, goodness, goodness. Listen, there's no politicians that are in charge of anything. God lets them try. And if he ever moves on his throne, they're going to see earthquakes. They're going to see storms. They're going to see things they've never seen before. Don't go mess with God. When we have changed so much of what the Word has brought into our society and changed it and still changing it, God's been talking to somebody about your witness, that your witness is not a good witness. Who is that? Just raise your hand. Not going to call you up, not going to lay hands up, not going to have you run or jump, maybe. Just raise your hand. God's been talking to you about your witness. Go ahead.
He's been dealing with me about just overall prayer life and how I interact with people and, you know, things that come up with people and they're sick at work and everything. And I'll be thinking, you know, if I was where I need to be a little more, then I can lay hands on them and I can just do more, I feel like. And so he's just been talking to me and I've been working on just the way I interact with people and how I portray myself. I think it was Paulie last week that was talking about how we look to people. And he was talking about when he was a youth and everything. And just from that day forward, wanting to make sure that his witness and what he looked like to people reflects God the way it should. And so that resonated with me last week and just what I've been going through and how God's been dealing with me this whole time.
So what would you tell the church?
As far as being a better...
Your testimony right now. What would you tell them to do? Because he's going to fulfill that in you, exactly what you say.
Just listen to God, and when he tell you to turn the TV off, turn the TV off and spend that time with God. And when he tell you to talk to somebody, just go out on the limb and talk to that person, because that one moment can change that person's life forever, you know? It doesn't matter what they think if you ask them to pray, if you ask them to allow you to pray for them. Just go ahead and do it, because, you know, people, you may not realize, but people want the prayer.
Yes.
They want that. They desire that. It's mm-hmm. just they don't know how to ask for that.
Yes.
And I know when I have done it, I would be shocked that they were willing and agreeable to allow me to pray for them. And, you know, don't worry about what happens after. Just believe God and let him go ahead yeah. and touch that person, however he's going to touch him. But don't you know, worry about what happens next. Let God do his perfect work.
Glory to God. Thank you for your courage to come up and talk to the house. Thank you, honey. Glory to God. Wow. Well, Holy Ghost just said this to me. You don't mind, do you? I'm glad. Peter's in the boat. Remember Peter? And what did Jesus say? He pulled out the scriptures and said what? And yea, if you would only... What did he say? Come. How many words? See, when you have the good on the inside of you, all you need is one word. All you need is one word. Turn to your neighbor and say, just one word. Who got out of the boat? And what did he do? He didn't walk in the water. What did he walk on? He walked on the word spoken by God. And was he doing it? What caused it to change? When he began to turn left and right, felt the wind, saw the lightning, he began to what? If he had remembered, come. But when he looked, when he looked around, somebody has a mortgage payment due, and you're looking around to every source to get this mortgage payment in. But the problem is you didn't look to the right place. You got to look to Jesus. You got to look to the Alpha and the Omega. You got to look to the beginning and the end. I don't know about you, but when I've been in a bank and I wanted to borrow a little bit of money, oh, we can't do that. You don't have enough assets to do this. I did not like walking out of a bank early in my life and being rejected for like it was $800 or something. Are you kidding me? No, you're not a good risk. Jesus would never say that to you or to me, that we're not a good risk. Peter didn't know that Jesus knew his future. Wasn't going to allow him to drown there, but he was in the class that Jesus taught. I had a Holy Ghost teacher who taught on the Holy Ghost. My wife would sit next to me in class, Brother Walter Buehler, missionary. He was German. I loved him. And he taught us about the Holy Ghost. He was the only one teaching anybody on campus about the Holy Spirit. And my wife and I just didn't understand what he was saying. One time I leaned over to her and said, you know what? I'm paying this guy good money. And when is he going to teach? Because he would stop the class. He'd take his glasses. You remember this, huh? He'd take the glasses and put them down. And this is what he would say in his broken English. Folks, God wants to speak to us. I looked at my wife. I said, this guy crazy or what? I mean, you got to teach me. And all of a sudden, there'd be a message in tongues and an interpretation. And when it was done, he put his glasses back on and kept going. I knew something right then and there. I wanted what he got. And no, it's not good English. I really don't care. He got it, and I want it. When he was having a bad day, he'd come with a red tie on. I'll never forget this because I was in a school of ministry. And he'd come with a red tie on. And I remember one day in particular, a red tie, and then he wore it again. I said, something's going on with Brother Buehler. He lived on campus. And at that point, I had a fence company, and they had just paid me that day in $100 bills. And the Holy Spirit said, you take that $100 bill, put it in the card, and say to him, this is for you, Brother Buehler. I'm climbing up the stairs to give it to him. Never forget this. I said, Brother Buehler, I appreciate you. My wife appreciates you. Here's what he said, and to this day I remember it. I appreciate your appreciation. Jesus appreciates your appreciation of who he is. He wants to sweep through your life and clean spiritual house for you. So all the problems that have been generated by bad decisions, by bad choices, by things your parents left on you when you were a kid. Right now, the Holy Ghost is going to blow in here like you've never. It's going to be, some of you may hear an audible howl. It took the whole city of surprise. What's that noise? What's going on? It was a storm that changed the world. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost wants to wash everything out of your life, past, present, and take care of your future. Amen. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, getting back to Peter, listen. Jesus did not calm the storm. Was there another case where he calmed the storm? Yes, there was. You see, Jesus will do different things at different times. Didn't he heal the same blind man the same way? It was always different, but the results were the same. People were made whole. What did he do? He taught Peter how to walk on top of the problem, not get rid of the problems around him. And that's what God's doing right now for you. Whatever is insurmountable in your life is not insurmountable to Jesus Christ. He wants to blow into your life the wind of the Spirit and change. Oh, can I say this? Oh, it refers to me too, I guess. Change your sorry past. Change your sorry today. And take your future sorries and bury them so you never even have to experience them. He's going to give you the ability to walk on top of anything that comes your way. I said, walk on top of anything that, to walk on top of it. You're not going to sink. You're not going under. You're not going down, because God's going to use your voice like he did Peter on the day of Pentecost, and thousands came to a man that denied Jesus and let him go more than once. But Jesus always saw his heart. Don't say, well, I'll put it off till tomorrow. You and I don't have a tomorrow. We've got this precious moment right now where we are, where Jesus wants to take our lives. Let him be the potter. Let us be the clay. He wants to remold and reshape us into what he needs today that you and I don't even know about. You can't sink. You will not sink. It's impossible. Because he's unalterable. He's the same yesterday and the same today. And he will be forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I said it forever and ever. You're going to stand outside your problems and look at them and say, oh my God, what am I going to do? And the Holy Ghost is going to say, I already gave you the answer. It's on the inside of you. His name is Jesus. God's going to shine a light on you that you and I have never seen before, on me. He's going to turn the storm around, and the backside of that storm, like a hurricane, can be worse than the front part. But God's going to not only give you that little piece in the middle, what do they call it? The eye. I like to call it in a spiritual storm. That's the eye of Jesus, keeping his eye on you. You didn't just come here today because it's Sunday. You came because God is going to do something supernatural in your life. It's that simple. Remember the boy and the fishes? We talked about this again on Thursday. We have a good Thursday class. But Jesus asked the disciples what? He said, watch my lips. Feed them. Feed them. And what was the reply from one of the disciples? Oh, he didn't ask them what they had. He's not asking you what you have, or what your next paycheck will bring, or next week this will change. He doesn't have to have faith. He is faith. And I wonder if his disciples were not like somebody watching a tennis match. Feed them. By Jesus. They probably wanted to say, there's thousands of people. So they lowered it to another level so Jesus could understand them. All we have is little boy's lunch. Little as much when God's in it. So he offered up the boy's lunch. Think about this now. Give me some Pastor Paulisms as we go. What did Jesus do with the problem? What did he do with the lunch? What did he do? Oh, he did what? He looked to heaven and this can't be right. Oh my goodness. He prayed? I remember one lady, I think it was Mark Hankin's wife, they were having some issues, and he said, I think we ought to pray. You know what his answer was? We've come to that. Yes, we've come to that. Because how many things have you and I faced? How many things will we face in the future that are insurmountable? But I got the answer book. It's the Bible, and that's it. Come on, somebody. And after he caused heaven to open up and he got a hold of the warehouse in heaven and it started to tip over, he started hanging out to the disciples. Come here. Take these baskets, and here's what I want you to do. Oh, he said one other thing. Line the people up in rows. Have you ever planted anything? You make rows for the seeds so the water can get down between so it can grow. That miracle was already growing before it left their hands to give to these people. Over 20,000 people. 20,000. And the little boy's lunch is here. My gosh. I wonder what they were thinking as they handed it out. Boy, Jesus has been in the sun too long. He's been teaching all day long. I think he may have lost it. But when they got down to feeding the last person, listen, and the Bible says, and they were satisfied. Have you ever eaten and not be satisfied? When Lester Sumrall was here, they took me to a restaurant where they go like this, you know, and cut everything up and flip in the other. When I got out of there, I went to McDonald's. It was like, what did I eat? I ate it, but I'm not full. But when you eat out of the Word of God and you drink out of the Word of God, you are full. Your belly's full. It'll take you till the next day till you desire something else again. Listen now. He filled how many baskets? Say 12. With more than they started with. If we will be obedient to what God says to do, when he says to do it, there's no limit to what the miracles will show up and be. Come on. Now, who received something this morning? Who received a miracle in your body? I'm looking for the lumps that are gone. See, if they're gone, I can't find them. Who? Who raised your hand? What happened? Well, check. It's not there. Say this with me. It's not there. When you pray for God to do something supernatural, physically in your body, and you pray and agree, it's not there. Over. Finished. God never put anything on a man that's sickness and disease. When disease and sickness hits you, if I'm through, I go see a doctor. But at the same time, I talk to Dr. Jesus. Because a doctor's placed in your life to help you get better. We don't like to go because he may tell us you shouldn't be eating that. Years ago, when I was a little bit bigger, they sent me to a nutritionist. One of the worst experiences I've ever had. They took out all the rubber food and put on the plate what you would normally eat. I was going, and then the nice lady said, no, can't, then where are you going with that? And when they got done, all I had was the plate. See, some of us are afraid to go to Jesus because we're afraid of what he's going to ask for. Jesus gave everything, and you and I in our walk with Christ may find ourselves giving more than we thought we could. Everything about this ministry is sold out for Jesus. Everything is sold out for Jesus. The Lord gave it to me when I was listening to Helen Baylor putting up fences on the property. And the Holy Ghost said very clearly to me this. It sounded foolish then. It sounds foolish today. He said, I want you to go on the radio. Guess what my answer was to him? It's a two-letter word. No. And I kept going. And he said it to me again. So I put the music up louder, figuring I could drown his voice out. Only the voice in my vehicle wasn't as loud as the voice in my spirit man. Because there are enough people on the radio. There's enough for people to listen to. They don't need another preacher. And here's what God said to me. I do. I need your voice. All these 30-some years later, we're still on the air. We're on all kinds of ways to get this church and its voice out there. God needs your voice desperately. Because even though there's a lot on the shelves in your grocery store spiritually, there's a lot of stuff you just can't eat. I end here. I have seen and I'm seeing preachers drop like crazy because there's no foundation of the word. They're trying to run on their own. Doesn't work. God needs you. He needs you. He needs you. He needs you. He wants you not to just say, all we have is, just say, I'll go. Bow your heads just for a moment. If there's someone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I want to give you that opportunity right now. If you've never asked Jesus Christ in your life, the Bible says plainly, we confess Lord Jesus Christ with our mouth, we'll be saved. If you're here today, you don't know Christ for sure. You don't know where you would wind up if death were to come this day. Heaven or hell, they're both real places. If there's any hesitation, maybe you've asked Christ in your life, but you haven't been living the way you should. You want to rededicate your life. That counts. I want to pray with you. Come on, stand up, church. While you're standing, if that's you, young man, young lady, make your way forward so we can put a Bible in your hands, tell you how much Jesus Christ loves you. Is there anybody? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? To our audience watching, we love you. Jesus Christ wants to come into your life. And I pray with you right now in Jesus' name that your sins are forgiven. As you say what I say, your sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. Bought at a price, the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. Jesus Christ wants to come in and live with you. Care about every aspect of you. We love you. Find yourself a good church. Place where they're preaching the word of God. Amen. Come visit us.